The past is the past, and we need to look forward. And how do we mend fences, build bridges, and work together to continue to make our community better?
Here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. It was a town council session last night, closing out the budget hearing and getting into the critical budget vote after the override. And we've got our quarterbacking session this morning. Town Council Chair Tom Mercer, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thank you. A little tired, but
I don't blame you. I am too.
yeah, the last few days have been lengthy days for sure.
Lengthy days, yes.
But all good. And you know, our meeting last night was a long one. It was 4 hours, I think, pretty
4 hours
close.
plus or minus a minute or two, but yeah.
Yeah. But I think it all went quite well. We obviously had to respond to the vote from the day before,
Right.
and as the proposed override did fail by a similar margin to the last override, which was about a year ago. So the margins were very similar. The number of voters was very close. I think it was maybe 900.
About 900 to 1,000 less.
Yeah.
And I haven't redone the numbers. I know Nancy Danilo, our town clerk, updated some of the final numbers yesterday during the session, but I haven't seen those in writing yet, nor have I had time to go back and re-listen to catch those and see what she said. But the percent turnout didn't change. That was still 40%. And we can talk more about that later. But that's really the key opportunity for us all going forward in the future is how do we
Absolutely.
get to the other 60%?
Without question, Steve. And,
Yeah.
you know, that's something that I want to, you know, it's one of my goals, obviously, is to reach as many of our residents as we possibly can. And I think we started that process last year with the Joint Budget Subcommittee and the listening sessions that we had. And we did reach a lot of our residents, a lot more than we have in the past. And, but there's still work to be done because there's still 60% of our voters, of our residents, did not come to the polls, did not vote. We need to reach out to them. We need to reach them somehow. I'm not sure what the answer is, but it's certainly something that's on the forefront with me anyway as we move forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can talk more about that. But going back to last night, so yes, the override was to fund the level service budget as proposed. And then because the override failed, you were on the hook to follow through with the 3.8 million cuts, 2 million odd to the schools, and the other 1.8 across the town services. Not pleasant discussions, but
no,
unfortunately they were necessary.
Exactly. And because of the failed override, obviously, we had to address the cuts. And we had put a menu of proposed cuts out there prior to the vote. We during the Joint Budget Subcommittee meetings over the last 6 or 7 months, we did work on a list because obviously you need to know what would be affected if in fact we weren't able to provide the money one way, either by revenues or by an override, to provide the current level of services. And to your point, that's obviously what we felt we needed to move forward with, is not adding services, but providing the current level of services. What would that cost be? And that's how we built the budget. We built the budget based upon that, and came up with the $3.862 million million shortfall. Townwide, it was a townwide shortfall. So we addressed it as a townwide issue, not just the schools, not just police, fire, but across the entire all departments. So anyway, last night was the meeting where we had to make those cuts and bring the budget into balance. And we did that. There was a lot of discussion, obviously, but the town administrator went through the list before I re as I reopened the public hearing on the budget, because we did continue the second required public hearing till last night, just in case, so we could complete the process. So the town administrator, I started out with a few comments. The town administrator then laid out the proposed cuts. And then the police chief had asked if he could speak, and the fire chief asked if he could. And obviously the superintendent of schools, and I think Felicia,
Felicia Hardy from the
who
library.
from the library director, she asked if she could speak. So I allowed those department heads to speak first. And then then I opened it up, the public hearing, up to the public. And there were many folks that did speak, express their concerns. Obviously, the majority of the ones that spoke were disappointed in the outcome, and were concerned about the cuts for the school department, as well as the police and fire and DPW. And there was a lot of discussion about all departments, and what the effect would be. And I thought the police chief did a great job of identifying the issues within his department, and Chief McLaughlin did the same for the fire. And I thought Lucas was in a little bit of a our superintendent of schools was in a little bit different position, because he has to propose those cuts to the school committee, who hadn't met yet. So he really couldn't give us a complete list of what would be cut. But in fact, they have a meeting this coming Tuesday, I believe, and they will make those, he will propose those cuts to the school committee. So those who are interested in the exact cuts, he gave an overview for us after speaking with his committee during the course of the day yesterday, so that he could at least give some idea to the people in the audience that was there last night, which he did, which are basically, I think he said 12 positions, not just teachers, but 12 positions total that he would be proposing to the school committee.
Yeah, and for reference, to reinforce your point, to make it clear. So, yeah, while Jamie and Joint Budget Process had proposed that menu, within that menu, you had specified 2 million from the schools. They had thereby at least done their similar menu, and they had said 10 to 15 personnel. He confirmed last night it would in fact be 12. Not all teachers, some open positions, some other personnel across the district. And based on other conversations, yeah, they're looking to have both a budget subcommittee meeting and their policy subcommittee meeting be prior to the next school committee meeting. So they've got a juggling act to do there. But both of those are key because the budget process really needs to kind of review before they go to the school committee. And then on the policy side, they're the ones to determine the fees. And clearly, based upon what we anticipate, the fees are not going to change because they don't have the money in order to reduce them. So, but the devil's in the details, and that we'll find out by June 10th.
That's exactly right. And I just want to say that, obviously the council has heard the residents and, the last, as I stated earlier, the both last year's override and this year's override ballot questions both lost by a similar margin. And, we have to understand that this is the way democracy works and the democratic process, and we need to respond to those folks that voted no, which is what we had to deal with last evening. I was very pleased with the teamwork as we not only went through the process to get us to last to the ballot question, but also the teamwork and looking at the cuts that we needed to make. And I thought our department heads, both on the municipal side and our administrative team, as well as the school department and their administrative team and school committee, I just thought really came together, I felt last night, and it was really nice to see. And again, it's not a time to look back, it's a time to look forward. And I think that was a message that we heard loud and clear from everyone. So the past is the past, and we need to look forward. And how do we mend fences, build bridges, and work together to continue to make our community better? And part of that is reaching out to the 60% of the voters in the community that did not come out and vote for whatever those reasons are. I think it's a job of the council, as well as the rest of the community, the voting community, to help us reach out to those 60% because to get them involved, pay attention. We are spending your tax dollars, and we want to spend them in what is our opinion is in the best interest of 34,000 people. And we do have 24,000, roughly 24,000 eligible voters.
25,000, 586, or something like that.
So, and we have 11. We had roughly 11,000 or 10,000 something that actually voted. So we have some work to do, and we understand that work, and we will work together to help make our community better.
Because I think as being inside the game, so to speak, clearly we also need to bring the other people along because the issues we have are not going away. Effectively, we've just reset the stake on the ground to provide a level of services less than we did before. And yet, the wish for increasing services, restoring some of the services, if anything, will likely increase. Never mind some of the other fiscal uncertainties because of the federal level rippling down to the state level, rippling ultimately to us.
Yes, and as you just said, FY 26, we had that shortfall, FY27 isn't going to be any better.
No.
And FY27 and 28, if you read some of the tea leaves out there, it certainly sends the message, certainly to me, that the next couple of years are not going to be easy years, and we need to do what we can to help to increase revenues, to see what's out there, see what other opportunities are out there, regionalization of different things.
Absolutely.
Those are the kinds of things we need to be looking at as we move forward.
Yeah, regionalization clearly is the one other opportunity. And we've, as you're aware, but for the residents that are listening, we have a successful one with animal control in Bellingham. We have successful one and an expanding one on the dispatch services, right? Because now they're going to be integrating in with Foxborough and there, what is it, another four joining our six. So that'll be 10 together. We've experimented with even library services, but with Medway, but that didn't quite work. We do have a collaboration to the extent with the Norfolk County providing the weights and measures. But there are other things that are not necessarily easy because the biggest thing is kind of that local control. But since more and more communities are facing the same budget issues, I think there'll be more willingness to come to the table to try and figure out how can we do this and still save some money and still provide services?
And as you just alluded to, and as I stated, regionalization of different things, and we need to look at that and see what options are out there for us. And we can be a leader in that. We were part of the leadership of this the regional dispatch, the next center. And that's just seems to be working quite well, and it's expanding, as you just alluded to. So we need to look at other things. Those are the and other revenue sources, because new growth is new growth, and that is, that's those numbers aren't what they used to be, and they're
Oh, and
not
they
going
varied
to
too,
be.
even when they were. They still varied, right? And
For
that
sure.
doesn't help us plan if they're
No,
varying,
no.
a million, million and a half, that's a swing that's not plannable.
Exactly. But I know our departments, whether it be police or fire or DPW, they're always looking at grants, federal grants that are out there, and we need to continue to look at that, because those are always cost-saving opportunities. I mean,
Absolutely.
people may or may not be aware, we had four firemen through a grant.
Absolutely.
Police the same way. So those grant opportunities are just another way we can look, continue to look to save the community money, but still provide a level of service that the community's comfortable with.
Yeah, and I think catching the attention of that other 60% potentially with, the fact that while we have in relatively short term, obviously we had more time to plan for this override based on last year's short turnaround. But I think one of the other things we need to consider, and I think we've talked about it a little bit, but it hasn't gotten much traction yet due to the other circumstances. I think we're going to need to put together a plan of perhaps smaller overrides, but a continuous set of them, potentially addressing the one key piece in terms of the hold harmless on the school side, right? That alone is about 10 to 12 million. So even if you took it 2 million, that's five times, not all at once, but they would be a little bit more palatable. At least p start getting people into that mindset that, two and a half plus inflation doesn't work. And we're going to need to make adjustments. And that's one way to do it. And obviously, it'll take a whole lot of conversations in order to bring people to the table in order to get that. But that's one topic. And so it goes.
And so it goes, so it continues.
The sun at least rises tomorrow. And with the weather, hopefully, we've got the high school graduation this weekend. We've got the farmers market starting. We've got Porch Fest.
Porch Fest.
There's still a lot happening.
Absolutely. And then we have Strawberry Fest the next week. Yeah.
Correct.
Or Strawberry Stroll, I guess. Yeah.
Stroll. Yep. And
Yeah.
then 4th of July is around the corner, and the summer hits us with the farmers market, concerts on the common, yada, yada, yada. So.
Yeah. A lot of good things are continuing to happen within the community.
And oh, by the way, none of them are funded by the budget.
That's
Yeah,
correct.
yeah, 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 yeah,
Took the words right out of my mouth, Steve.
The one minor exception is there's some cultural grant, cultural district council grant money supporting that. But that's the only, to a certain extent, it's not even really budget related because those are grants through Mass anyway. But yeah,
Correct.
the point's made, they're generally not budget
Yeah,
related.
exactly.
Well, thank you, sir,
Okay.
for recapping the 4-hour session in 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Hopefully the folks will appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I just would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our department heads, the school committee, the school administration, the town ad, administration, everyone involved in working through this budget process this year. I think it was a good process. I think we reached many people. I plan on continuing the Joint Budget Subcommittee in the process that we started last year because I think it works for the community. And as we said, reach more people. But I want to thank everybody who worked together on this budget and through this budget process for all the time and effort they put into it. It's very much appreciated.
Yep, I'll extend my thanks to you and the other counselors as well, because I know you spend an awful lot of time on this as well.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, just a
But
little
it's all good.
bit.
But it's all good. We do
Yeah.
it because we love our town.
Correct. Yep.
It's Franklin is still one of the best, if not the best community
Mm
Massachusetts. I
right.
love.
And not to leave out the town administration, school department, school committee, and all the others involved, the One Franklin, and even the No folks for asking
Sure,
questions, because
absolutely.
they're key to this process as well.
Exactly. It is a democracy for sure.
Yes. And
So.
oh, by the way, it was right from last night a couple of times. We are in this together, and together we do need to solve it.
Correct.
Yeah. So thank you again.
All
Thank
right.
you
Thank
all,
you, Steve.
listeners. And we do this, of course, because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.